At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE. Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
It is Tuesday, the 7th of January, and you're listening to the first Viewpoint of the new year. A new dawn, a new year to look forward to, and yes, indeed, the same old feeling. And if I'm sorry if I'm laughing, but we've got Rex Leyland. I'll bring him on right now. Rex Leyland joins us live in the studio. Good morning to you, Rex.
Good morning, Giles. Good morning, Spain, and a very, very peaceful and healthy new year to you all.
So why are you trying to dismantle the studio then before we even started?
Well, it just came off in my hand. I'm so sorry.
Obviously, we don't have the website. Same old viewpoint. That's the one where I was. Same old VP. Somebody said that. Somebody's written the same old BS. Anyway, Rex is currently taking the microphone apart with his bare hands. Right, I'll let you get set up there, shall I? Anyway, are you happy there, Rex?
I am, as long as you can hear me.
I can hear you loud and clear. Good, right, good. Are you there?
I am indeed.
You see, the live radio, you see, Viewpoint is back for 2025. What a year we have in prospect with us. Of course, lots of stuff coming up during the year. Not to mention later on this month. In fact, in just under 3 weeks, we will have a new president, or the same old president, meet the old boss, same as the new boss. President-elect Donald Trump will be in office. So fasten your seatbelt, buckle ups. 2025 is already looking like it's going to be a year. Now then, on today's show, we're going to be looking at various bits and pieces. Rex will be gazing into his crystal ball and bringing us the latest, stop it, Rex, into the latest for coming up for the year.
Woke Finder General. Remember that.
As soon as we mean to go on, I can feel them trembling in the coffee house. The baristas of Hoxton are trembling with the mention of your name, Rex. So if you want to get involved, oh dear, I think we're a bit demob happy and we haven't even started yet. These are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
You see, the smooth professionalism of Rex Leyland is infectious in this studio, and I hope that's the only thing we're infectious. Let's have a look at the front pages this morning. Busy morning for the papers today. Starting off with Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer, his response to tech billionaire Elon Musk, and those calling for a national inquiry into grooming gangs. This is leading many of the papers. Starmer blasts Musk, declares the Daily Mirror. Sakir is quoted as saying that a line has been crossed in the rhetoric being directed at members of the government. Financial Times says the Prime Minister took Mr. Musk to task over his lies and misinformation about grooming gangs. Meanwhile, The Guardian describes Sakir's condemnation of Musk as a part of a growing chorus from European leaders. The Times quotes French Prime Minister Emmanuel Macron, who has accused Musk of attempting to intervene directly in elections. There's criticism of the Prime Minister too. The Daily Mail says he's triggered a furious backlash after claiming conservative demands for a grooming gangs inquiry were amplifying what the far right are saying. Daily Telegraph says it was outrageous for Sakir to level such accusations. A number 10 spokesperson tells the paper, however, that Sakir was criticising only those Conservatives who declined to hold an inquiry while they were in office, not everyone calling for one now. Writing in the Daily Express, Reform UK leader Nigel Farage accuses Sakir of trying to sweep the past failures of the establishment under the carpet by denying calls for the inquiry. The promising, if limited, is the view of The Sun on the government's plans to cut NHS waiting lists in England. The Daily Mail applauds the pragmatism of the government's decision to use private providers to reduce waiting times. But the Eye warns there are still huge challenges, namely the perennial winter crisis in hospitals, workforce shortages, and a social care plan that is at least 3 years from introduction. Photographs of the outgoing Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, make many of the front pages. Tearful Trudeau bows out is the Daily Telegraph's caption. In the end, says The Guardian, his boyish charisma was not enough to reassure Canadians facing huge jumps in housing and grocery prices. The Times says Donald Trump's victory in November brought into focus Trudeau's weakened position with the prospect of blanket 25% tariffs on Canadian goods. The Daily Telegraph reports that Avanti West Coast train services between Liverpool and London were cancelled over the weekend after a trade union told drivers not to walk on the snow. Photographs of the edge of the Edge Hill depot in Liverpool on Sunday showed about 2 inches of snow on top of rails, cables and other equipment. A spokesperson for the Aslev Union said the walkways were unusable, adding that this is basic safety stuff. Avanti declined to comment. At long last, declares the Daily Mail, as it toasts Demi Moore's first major acting award in her 45-year career. Moore picked up a Best Actress gong at the Golden Globes for her performance in the comic horror film The Substance. The Sun features her acceptance speech, in which she said she almost quit acting before being cast in the film. The Daily Express says the award means she has been vindicated and her resilience speaks to us all. So, those front pages from the top this morning, top of my paper pile. The Guardian, PM condemns Musk for lies and misinformation on abuse cases, but also a photograph of Justin Trudeau. Trudeau to step down as Canada's Prime Minister after a decade in power. Daily Mirror, poison. Starmer blast Musk's outrage at billionaire's grooming gang smears. PM warns far-right lies putting people in danger. The Daily Telegraph, again, tearful Trudeau barrels out is their front page. Also, Starmer calls for grooming probe are far-right. And another one in there on the front page is smokers and obese sent to the back of the NHS queue. Meanwhile, The Daily Mail, Starmer's far-right smear on grooming gang critics. Furious PM suggests those calling for inquiry into scandal are jumping on a far-right bandwagon. Meanwhile, Daily Express, Starmer out of touch on rape gang scandal. The Times, again, a photograph of Justin Trudeau. Europe turns on Musk over attempts to sway voters. Meanwhile, the Metro, NHS reset overshadowed by Musk row, X Factor spat hits Starmer. The Eye leads on something completely different. NHS will send extra 2.5 million patients to private hospitals in urgent attempts to cut waiting lists. The Financial Times, Trudeau quits as poor ratings and strife in his party take toll. And also they've got a picture of Sakir Starmer on the front, hitting back at Musk over lies and misinformation. The Sun, that leads on Strictly Come Dancing host Shirley Ballas. She says she was stalked for 6 years. And finally, the Daily Star. The Daily Star says snowfall has left 23 people holed up in Britain's highest pub, the Tan Hill Inn on North Yorkshire, for 3 nights. 23 lucky boozers holed up in Britain's highest pub for 3 nights. Do you want some ice with that? And those, for better or worse, are your headlines on this Tuesday, the 7th of January.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95.
Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And we may be only 12 minutes into the first viewpoint of the year, but the Workfinder General has already come on and he wishes to cancel me. Workfinder General, please.
Well, you have gone methodically, meticulously through all the journals that are available for English readers.
Yes.
But you have failed to mention probably the most important piece of news that was hidden away in one of the weekend papers, which I think we should all be very, very worried about. And that is, yet again, the Chinese are at it. The patients are dying in their hospitals with a new strain of flu, COVID, whatever you want to call it, the plague. And I think they are, again, allegedly hushing it up. We are not being told totally what is going on. They're using their usual tactics. But if this is the case, and it appears to be the case, that there is a new strain and that the hospitals are full of dying Chinese, then the first thing we need to do this time is to shut China out of the rest of the world. No transport, no ties, no nothing, no breathing, no going to a Chinese takeaway.
I'm only joking.
But seriously, we need to close the borders if this is the case. And I'm hoping that one of your faithful listeners, Giles, will call in and either correct me or enlighten me further or enlighten all of us further about this dreadful threat. Again, how many years later since COVID?
Well, you see, the thing is, you're straight in. You can't shut out China, dear, so it comes in. It's not new. That strain's been around for some months. Keep up, Rex.
No, it was...
What paper were you reading, by the way? Was it the...
I was reading the FT.
The FT, of course. Yeah. Of course.
Well, you can't get the Times here on Sunday, can you? You can't get the Times here at all.
A little wistful note in your voice there.
Or any other...
Here in the colonies, Rex, you see.
The Telegraph.
The Telegraph, yeah. And Happy New Year. That's what I get started. So, the thing... We are always beset with... There are always going to be viruses, whatever, around, I think, it's interesting, knee-jerk reactions. I mean, do you think we should be forewarned and forealarmed in this case then, Rex?
I do. Only because, historically, we know what happened with COVID. We know how everything unfolded and how we were all caught unawares. But this time, we should not be caught unawares. We should be prepared. And if there is a threat to us all with this new strain, then we need to act now. The anti-vaxxers, I know many of them, of course, are as adamant as people who are pro-vaccination, namely myself. I think if something's being offered to you, I think you should take it. But on the other hand...
That's people... got me in half the trouble I got in my youth in the 20s, but never mind.
Well,
but anyway, yes.
No, it's a belief. And of course, everybody has their own opinion, and they can agree to be vaccinated or not. I think it's the right thing to do. But then... history will tell that story. But I do honestly believe that we've got to be on guard with what's happening in China. We know that the hospitals, for example, in the UK are full at the moment. We know after Christmas, New Year, it's their busiest times, rush hour in all the hospitals. It's as if the...
Thank goodness for Aslef, who say you can't walk in 2 inches of snow.
Yeah, but it's as if the family members sort of try to... get rid of their senior folk and dump them in the local hospital. I mean, why is it so convenient that everybody fills the hospital immediately after New Year? Why don't they go between Christmas and New Year? They don't. They stay at home for the celebrations and then they all go to hospital, sadly. But it's coincidental, Charles, isn't it?
What's interesting, I think, about the whole thing about you flagging up this strain or whatever is in China at the moment is... Perhaps now we will be more prepared quicker. If something happened, we would shut down quicker. What I'm saying is because you weren't here in October when we had the dreadful Dana came, the floods that, you know, killed over 200 in.
I've just gone back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was obviously horrendous, and there has been this, it's still an ongoing thing because the regional government in Valencia had the means to warn people via their mobile phones that there was an emergency situation, but they didn't.
Oh dear.
And the head of the Valencian community was in a 3-hour lunch as this unfolded during the afternoon, and they didn't put the warning out until 8 o'clock. Well, by that time, streets were busy, people were in their cars, and so when the worst of the flooding hit, it went out too late. So that was appalling, and the repercussions. I mean, the head of the Valencian government. And the deputy who was in charge of this sort of thing said she was unaware there was such an app, such a warning thing. You know, so you just look at that at Bay Askins, and of course, they being Partido Popular, immediately threw the hot potato that was this crisis to central government, because that's what they do.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, they have the leader of the Valencia community has refused to step down. He said, no, I want to be here now for the victims. Yeah. One could argue that they sort of caused it. So the meaning of, and this is not an anti-Partido Popular rant on you know, my behalf, I shall not get on my soapbox for the first time and start singing, you know, the Internationale in front of you. Too early in the new year to start singing Internationale. But anyway, in the meantime, it's going to be an interesting year for us. Well, in the meantime, but what happened was that when we were all sitting here in Andalusia enjoying an evening with rain forecast and everything, etc., and suddenly at about 11 o'clock, everybody's phone went off like this beep, beep, this sharp beeping, right? And that was a warning put out by the Junta de Andalucía, warning of the possibility of the same sort of flooding. Now, gracias a Dios, it didn't happen. We didn't have that sort of thing, but they were just testing the system. And so I think this is a case of them being forewarned, forearmed. And now, for example, there was heavy rain forecast for Sunday evening.
And they cancelled the processions.
They moved a lot of processions.
Absolutely.
And when it came, it was a light trickle. Again, now they are going to ear on the side of extreme caution. Exactly. Like the 2 inches of snow in Liverpool.
If I can beat that, when you talked about the alarms going off on your mobile phone.
I thought it was my Tinder. I was swiping right desperately.
We
finally got a match.
We were. last year we were in New York in the early part of April, whenever it was, and I remember we'd moved hotels for various reasons. And around about quarter.
Didn't they have the right G&T? They're out of tonic.
No, it was ghastly.
Ghastly.
Anyway, so we moved hotels, and it was about 10:15 in the morning.
Yeah.
And my wife said to me, "That's funny." She said, "The subway's making a lot of noise today." And I said, "That's not the subway. That's an earthquake." And then everybody was saying, "There can't be an earthquake. This is New York." And it transpired. We did have an earthquake that morning, and our phones did go off, warning us to get out of the building as fast as we could. So New York had not had an earthquake for nearly 70 years, and yet last April we were there for that, got the warning, everything worked efficiently, so, you know, God bless the Americans.
Yeah.
And then a few days later, before we went back to London, we had an eclipse. So 1 week in New York, one earthquake, one eclipse. Not bad, eh?
You do get
for extravaganza.
You do tend to get your action-packed holidays. If you want to get involved with today's show, here are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And coming back, we're just getting bombarded. Rex, Rich's come in and saying that what you just said is
anti-Chinese,
out of order, and about the Chinese. Now, you weren't meaning the Chinese as general, and that bit about.
I'm talking about the Chinese Communist Party and their health ministry.
You've got nothing against the Chinese.
No, I love the Chinese. I love the Chinese.
Yeah.
And I love their cuisine, and I love everything about them.
Right.
Except when you get scammed on mail orders to England.
Exactly.
And the goods don't arrive. Indeed.
Yeah, there is. Thank you. I will absolutely underline the fact as well. I've known Rex for a very long time. He may be the woke finder general, but he's certainly not a racist.
No.
So thank you very much. But yes, indeed. As we said, it's Viewpoint. Please get involved. If there's something crossing your radar, it's to the WhatsApps we go. Interesting that Keir Starmer is calling people far right for speaking out about grooming gang. Oh, is this Cookie? Good morning to you, Cookie. It's right. This thing in China, which you've obviously woken people.
Which you asked for.
It's HMPV, classified as a common cold. It's called as similar to a cold. Hospitals are full. It's the winter seasons. Good morning. Nice to see. This is Paul. Nice to see Rex making use of his Irish passport. We're talking about that off air, actually, so there you go. The current scaremongering virus is HMPV. Honestly, I love the listeners on Viewpoint. They are so informed. Is HMVP, which is human. Here we go. Meta pneumonovirus.
HMPV then.
Yes. Human metapneumonovirus. Anyway, first discovered in 2001, remember then, and believed to have been in circulation for 50 years or more, at least. Similar to a cold, as Cookie said as well, and part of the winter cocktail of seasonal viruses. Its incubation period between catching it and showing symptoms is longer than the standard cold, so it can be transmitted for longer without the patient being aware. What's wrong is the lack of HEPA filters and masks in medical environments during the winter. I bet some of your best friends are Chinese. Okay, New York, you're going to get these. Well, you know. Now then, here we go. So, the outbreak of cases of human pneumonovirus. There we go, got
Demonic.
It. Started in late November 2024. It was brought to public attention when the Chinese Center for Disease Control and Prevention, which wasn't that one of the ones that we were looking at during that thing that we don't talk about anymore, published data showing that respiratory infections of human metapneumonoviruses had risen significantly in the week 16th to 22nd of December last year. HMVP symptoms are often similar to that of the common cold, including cough, fever, runny or stuffy nose, sore throat, wheezing, shortness of breath, and rash. In your case, statements, Rex. Most people can recover from HMVP in about 7 to 10 days without any complications. However, certain groups face a higher risk of severe complications.
So the big question is, the cocktails that we were all given for our anti-flu vax for this current season, does it contain a strain of this new Fandango, or not new Fandango?
This new cocktail, unexpected. Yeah,
I mean, we were just saying the other day, it's history repeating itself. If you think the First World War, all those poor people died, and then after that, they had Spanish flu.
They did indeed.
Then millions and millions more died.
Just quickly, so pneumonia. These are certain groups facing a higher risk of severe complications. Pneumonia, HMPV, can cause viral pneumonia, requiring hospitalisation and intensive care in severe cases. Bronchiolitis, infants and young children often experience inflammation and blockage of airways, leading to difficulty breathing and wheezing. Exacerbation, I haven't said that correctly anyway, of chronic conditions. They can worsen existing respiratory conditions like asthma or chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. Secondary bacterial infections, such as bacterial pneumonia, may develop as complications, and pregnancy complications. Respiratory issues caused by HMPV during pregnancy can lead to maternal and fetal health risks. And as Cookie said, Happy New Year. Yes, indeed. Thanks for that. I'm going to go for the first break, and then we're going to be back with more Viewpoints.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Joined in the studio by the Woke Finder General, live in person, not down the line from London, Rex Leyland. Rex, you were just making some more points on this issue about jabbing and vaccines. Do you think people are now more are less willing to, or more, shall we say, sceptical of having a jab, having a vaccine, than they were 5 years ago, or because it's going to be 5 years this March that Spain went into its lockdown.
I think COVID obviously has changed the mindset of a lot of people. And maybe after the war and stuff like that, we all had various immunization programs and we all took part. And probably people never really bothered to question. They just accepted what was given to them. And I think what COVID has done probably is to have enlightened people further and stimulated them to question more what is going inside their body. And as I said earlier, you know, I respect anti-vaxxers, of which I am not one of those. However, there is another vaccine that's just come out in the UK, well, it was last year, and it's something called RSV, which is given to people of a certain age and children. And it's funny that...
In the prime, Rex, in the prime, you're saying.
Yeah, I'm not going to give the age. but it prevents people from dying of respiratory issues. And this Chinese new wave is a real, genuine respiratory issue. So the NHS at the moment, it would appear, can't afford to give the whole population or offer it to everybody. So it's been restricted to seniors and juniors, although it's been inferred that it will be available sometime soon. When I was in America, they were advertising it furiously last November in every single pharmacy, trying to encourage people to have this RSV, respiratory, I think it stands for respiratory symbiotic virus. Right. And it just stops you dying of something respiratory. I've had pneumonia, jab, and then there's, of course, shingles, which is not very nice for people as they get older. The thing is, you have the choice. And I think it's a privilege living in a society where we are given choices, we're given options, we're not forced. And I think that should be respected.
If you want to get involved with the show this morning, here are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Always live, always lively with you today until 12 o'clock. And then Stephen Richardson joins us for the first Europe Today of the year. Let's look at, let's move on, shall we, Rex, from this one. Let's look at some more guests. Go on.
Yep.
No.
I've got another little bit.
Come on then, what's been crossing your mind? I do like it when you do your homework finder.
A little sort of snippet that's barely come to the fore is the au revoir to the Archbishop of Canterbury, who bowed out yesterday.
Who will rid me of this turbulent priest?
I mean, what a palaver. I mean...
That's a word for it.
It's a shame.
It's a sham. It's not a shame, Rex.
It's both. It's both. Because he failed, and he has been, in so many words, removed from office.
Well, willfully sort of covered up this, you know, I mean,
if you can't trust the church, who can we trust? That's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
a good one.
That's a T-shirt. I can see that selling at the... religion is a palaver. Thank you very much. Yes. Some stuff coming in.
But anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in because it has... It's not been sort of headlined. It's been stuck away at the bottom of the paper.
I mean, the Archbishop of York was quite happy. He got to do the Christmas message this year.
Yeah,
last year. Sorry,
but he Canterbury didn't. What's his name?
Welby.
Welby didn't do it this year.
Well, Welby went, and then in his sort of standing down speech, he decided, you know, he put a few jokes in there. Now, for
terrible.
I mean,
they were in terrible taste.
I know.
Who was this scriptwriter?
Well, one could say it was, you know, the pen was inspired. No, but joking aside, I mean, obviously there has been a very long and shameful list of abuse in all organisations. I mean, especially that handle the vulnerable, or we put our trust in. We put our trust in, for example. Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
And obviously the Catholic Church is coming for some of this, to put it mildly.
Yep.
Church of England.
Not so big. But
yeah,
but there.
But we come from that background, right, where it's all sort of, you know, verges and you know, vicars and the whole thing in rectories somewhere in the south of England. So, but it's just the cloth. I mean, this is the higher reaches of an organisation that is perhaps, and this is painful to say, divorced from the reality. And although it might be a very Christian value to turn the other cheek, absolutely, and forgive those.
Well encapsulated.
Thank you. This is not one of these cases. It is. You can, yes, of course, the tenets of any religious, I would say, Western religious movement, and please don't start sending me and saying, oh man, it's Islamic on this one, is redemption and forgiveness.
Yep.
Yeah. But surely,
but sweeping under the carpet.
Yeah. There's
doesn't come under that umbrella, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
And obviously, they thought they'd get away with it. It would die naturally and just disappear, but it didn't. It came back to haunt them. And that is a lesson, a religious lesson for all. Always be honest, and you won't be bitten.
This cultist be leaving in a geezer in a cloak, rabbiting on about tales from yesteryear. That's enough about me. Having just joined, talking about respiration, Wim Hof breathing helps and works. I can recommend. Thank you, Rabina. That's when you put yourself in an ice bath. You ever been in an ice bath, Rex?
No. We used to have cold showers at school.
Well, no, then, obviously.
One did.
Yes, one did.
And also, swimming in the sea in April in the northwest of England on the Wirral was quite bracing.
Yes.
And we did that.
You were trying to get back to Ireland, people. Were you, at that point? That was you trying, trying to get back to Ireland, back
looking
to the home
for
country.
A way through. You are ridiculous, honestly, just because I've got my passport.
Exactly. No, looking, though, I went. I had a nice bath in August in a very lovely hotel. Good morning to Daryl and and everybody at Cuevas del Gato. And had a nice bath. And it was August. I thought, could possibly go wrong? Well, Rex, I can assure you that the cold showers that we had at school were nothing like. I mean, it was my screams could be heard across the valley. And obviously, when you're a certain age, you suddenly think, hang on a second, this could be a prelude. You know, I'm in my late 50s now. This could be the prelude for a heart attack.
No, I mean, I have a...
And other parts of my anatomy shot out the top of my head. I had two lumps here, Rex.
Really?
Yeah, because my what's-its shot all the way up through the top of my head and came out there.
You were posing as a devil.
And there's no change there then, but also, no, but... And I kept going back in to see if it would get better, but...
Oh. But I have an adage in life, as we all get older, and sadly we can't stop growing old. It's some
growing
awful
old, yeah,
condition that we have, that we just get older.
Growing old is mandatory, growing up is not, Rex.
I've just had a birthday and somebody came up to me and said, what are you, some kind of fanatic? You're having them every year. And the problem is that I believe that as we get older, we should do things that are age-related. In other words, don't try and do anything stupid because you think you can do it when you're actually quite old and you shouldn't be doing it. So for you, going into an ice-cold bath, but I don't think you'll rush
that
back
was,
to do it again.
That was that, in the aspects of
that's
of
what I call age-related
no,
stuff.
No, that's journalism. You see, I was on a mission. I was reporting on the hotel. I was honour-bound to go into the ice bath.
So you were on a mission.
I was on a mission. And that mission was extremely painful.
Right.
Exactly. And my companion, who was dozing beautifully in the room, she looked at me and said, well, you know, what have you done to yourself? I'm like, you know. So there, so that's the fact.
And you've never been lost for words, Charles.
I've never been lost for words. No, there are quite a few choice ones, I must admit. Right. Yeah. Let's move on from this. Let's move on from this rabbiting. Let's have a look. Let's cast ourselves let's go back to the home country, back to the UK. This whole Musk situation. I mean, I was going to say this whole political situation because, we are 20 minutes to the end of the first half. We can easily fill, because I know, you know, you have some very strong thoughts on this. Because last time, I think we looked, the Conservatives were still looking for a new leader. And there was no mention of any foreign money coming or overseas money coming in to help parties out.
Correct.
And we have also seen the situation with Keir Starmer, who seems to be gaining a reputation or a record that isn't perhaps the one that you want in terms of popularity and general sort of ratings with the UK public. You have the floor.
Well, first of all, Musk is musty, isn't he?
Musty.
He's musty. I don't really understand his methodology, other than the fact that he is obviously a very successful businessman. He is certainly an adventurer. He's highly intelligent and is gifted in certain ways to do things in a certain style. However, is it his prerogative to interfere with other countries' political systems just because his back pocket is wedged with a huge amount of cash?
Well, here's the thing, okay? I had a very good description of Musk the other day as a cuckoo, because Musk has never actually invented anything, but he has the great aptitude to get into companies.
Perception.
Get into the top level and then push out all the people. Like a cuckoo.
I read that
as
well.
Exactly.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah. And but the other thing is because we live in interesting times, and 2025, when Donald Trump gets back into power, you know, as I say, so I said that half jokingly, but buckle up because we have no idea what's coming out, you know, what's coming through the doors, as it were. A lot of these people are saying, you know, Trump got himself elected once again on this thing about the elites and getting rid of the organizations, and he wants to, you know, do a hatchet job on the FBI and all those who opposed him, etc., etc. And he believes he's going to issue in a whole new era and style of American politics. We have certainly not seen anything like that in the States for a while. And it's about shaking up the established order. And somebody like Musk, obviously, is also involved in shaking up the new order. And if you have the resources that Musk has, you probably start to believe your own stuff, because look at you, you know, you are richer than God on payday.
Okay.
You have the money, and you must think, well, the reason that I am so successful is because I am right. And therefore, why should I not spread this gospel, my ideas, around the world?
I have a question.
Go on.
Maybe you or some of your wonderful listeners might be able to answer it. Does anybody else recall the last time that somebody of that financial stature has actually, say, going back to the Second World War or whatever, has actually deliberately interfered with the different countries' politics? I can't recall. I mean, we know we have donors, but most people are discreet. They don't wear it on their chest like Musk. And I'm not sure that I can recall anybody of Musk's, and I use the word correctly, notoriety.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I think a lesson to be learned by everybody, how he was cozying up to Farage and Candy in 1 minute, and the next minute he stabbed them. I mean, what does that say about his character and personality? Should we have faith in this man? You know, is he what he says he is?
Well, it's all about,
or is just a pain in the
proverbial?
Correct.
It's obviously all about him. Because he, you know, in the same way that 20
Definitely.
Years ago people were cozying up to Murdoch and, you know, the thing on the media.
I mean, in fairness, he's nothing like Musk.
No, because he's from a different generation. You know, Murdoch's in his late 90s now. He's, you know, he's mid.
But when he was interfering, he wasn't interfering to that level.
No, but you see that because Musk, again, has had this phenomenal rise to super wealth, and therefore he has an agenda, and he also has the method in the same way that Murdoch had, but this is a much more venomous one, because obviously it is at the end of your hand on your phone, and if you are on X, then you will have noticed how the algorithm has changed now, and that, you know, the stuff comes up on my timeline, which is all sort of reform and rights wing, which is obviously nothing, you know.
But you're right about the time frame, is because Murdoch used the printed word, and Musk is using the telephone, the mobile phone. But still a printed word, but it's not physically printed, but it's still the same methodology. But he's taken it a stage further. And I think it would be best for all nations to ignore Musk's rants, and I think rather unnecessary and perhaps sometimes unpleasant actions.
The problem is, though, you know, can we put the genie back in that bottle? I mean, can we stop? Can we stop someone? And, you know, can we stop someone like a Musk?
Well, Trump will be able to decide that one, because we'll see how much leeway or rein is offered to Musk by Trump in a few weeks' time.
Yeah, and, you know, this I think it's going to be one of the very interesting situations of the first term of the first, say, couple of months of his presidency, to see how these two egos.
Yep.
And I, you know, how these two forceful personalities...
Will they homogenise?
Well, exactly. Or will there be the mother of all falling out?
Yes.
Musk has turned on Farage, because he is, you know, Musk is, with his, in his view, Tommy Robinson is
turned on Starmer as well.
Yeah.
And quite a few others. But it's I just think it's politics, certainly with a difference. And of course, Trump, am I correct in saying that he might have a quick court appearance before the inauguration, or are they deferring that?
It won't be a court appearance, but there's going to be a ruling about it's hush money. But there won't be any jail time. And you know what Trump will do is he will say this is more proof that the American judicial system is being weaponized against me.
Yep. Well, but they appoint their own judges, though, don't they? The presidents.
Exactly.
So it is political. Whereas in the UK, they're not. Correct me if I'm wrong. Appointed by government.
Correct. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. I am 81, and I do cold showers every day. There you go.
I'm shivering.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now going here. Meanwhile, back in the world. Musk isn't successful. What's successful about buying companies? I think Uncle Nige, otherwise known as Farage, and Candy were cozying up to him, to be fair. It's all about him. Well, a narcissistic trait, like most billionaires, it will all end in tears.
Probably.
Very much indeed. Going for a quick break, and then we're back into the last... we've been back in the last 11 minutes of the first half of today's Viewpoint. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. That's the Facebook page. Talk Radio Official. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. Joined by Rex Leyland live in the studio. Just want to look at some of the commentators have been saying on this whole Musk situation, and we've got the following. They're saying, this is from CNN. Musk poses a delicate new challenge for Britain's political leaders. Starmer has taken great pains to charm President-elect Donald Trump, whilst also hoping to hold back at home the growing influence of a Reform UK. That's in the CNN. For many Labour MPs, Musk's anger, like much online trolling, remains little more than a sideshow. But others find themselves asking, why us? Unlike other European countries, such as Germany, there's no impending parliamentary election through which Musk can exert his influence, leaving many scratching their heads over Musk's apparent fixation with British politics. While the next general election is still as much as 4 years away, Musk can't entirely be ignored. With Labour desperate to build trust with the Trump administration and to generate economic growth at home, which we'll come on to in the second half, the delicate nature of Starmer's relationship with Trump may depend on keeping the billionaire at arm's length for as long as that remains possible. Starmer yesterday called out those who are spreading lies and misinformation as far and wide as possible, although notably he refrained from naming Musk, among them. Indeed, the concern in number 10 is that meeting fire with fire will only escalate the row further and give Musk much more oxygen. This is what the Times said. And for number 10, the importance of retaining good relations with Trump cannot be overstated. After the president-elect spent much of the U.S. campaign, the U.S. election campaign, threatening to impose a blanket 10% tariff on imports, a move that would do huge damage to Britain's economic prospects, which are a key priority for Starmer's government. Musk has demonstrated he's capable of setting the political weather in the U.K. with both Conservatives and Reform U.K. now backing his calls for a public inquiry into grooming gangs. But as his volte-face on Farage this week weekend demonstrates, the Tesla and ex-boss can be a precarious ally. For now, the strategy in dealing with Musk
makes his cars.
Thank you very much. For now, the strategy for dealing with Musk remains unchanged: to challenge him on points of fact, but avoid directly confronting him over his rhetoric. Musk also met with Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban, who obviously is a leading figure on the radical right. And Musk has also been accused of interference by the German government for his strong support of the far-right AfD party ahead of their elections. He's due to host a conversation with AfD co-leader Alice Weidel on X later this week. And he might turn his attentions to Paris because Macron is apparently desperate to get him on side. So, the far right in France, who'd have thought it?
Well, all will be revealed very, very soon. But it's as if he's sort of trying to take over the world, Musk, isn't it? I don't know. I find it absolutely... I think it's challenging for us, the public spectators or political spectators, to see a man wielding such power and influence. And the fact that he, of course, owns X and, as Murdoch owned all those newspapers, they can say or print what they like. But, and of course, I'm all for free speech. So you can't muzzle people, and you should not be able to muzzle people. Otherwise, you might as well go and live in most of the countries of the world that don't have a democracy and free elections where they are muzzled. We only have to look at Syria to find, but that's coming, I think, in the next half.
Look at that and see.
I think it's absolutely fascinating. But the conundrum, though, the big conundrum, I fear, is the judgment of our current prime minister in obviously now relating to the US inauguration, etc., that his choice of UK ambassador
Lord Mandelson
to having with the history and the comments that he has made about Trump, it's not the wisest, I think, of selection.
But you could argue that Mandelson has been there and done that, in the half-lit corridors.
His track record is still miserable in politics, miserable. And I'm not holding my breath. It's just that when politicians make these decisions and they sit around the table with their strategists and everything else, you know, who comes up with these sort of harebrained schemes and aren't they thought through? I mean, there's so many things that Starmer's done already that have not been properly thought through.
We could have had Lord Cameron back, couldn't we?
That all remains to be seen.
Isn't there something though vaguely distasteful, Rex? And as you know, as conservative with a small C, as I used to be, and as you know, as yourself, as being old school One Nation, isn't there something sort of slightly disheartening with the fact that the Conservatives and Reform seem to be scrabbling around between themselves after this? And surely, you know, especially the Conservatives should do better than this, and then trying to wade into grooming gang debates and picking fights with people like Farage, because as we said, if you ignore Musk, he might go. If you ignore Farage and starve him of the oxygen, he'll go away. So why should a party as great as the Conservatives be squabbling with this? They certainly wouldn't have squabbled with the National Front or the British National Party, so 20 years ago.
Good point. But yes, I do find it quite
depressing.
Depressing is a very good word. But I read a little article. I don't know if I sent it to you in the FT about somebody wrote that things aren't as bad as we think they are in the UK. I did send it around.
WhatsApp and say no, they're worse.
I sent it around to my sort of friends and whatever, and just said, "Do you agree or disagree?" And it's funny that the response I got back was 50% said we agree with what's written in the article. Maybe things are not so bad after all,
yeah.
And 50% said they're worse. So, you know, as they say in French, "On verra," we will see in the coming months. But I, for one, I'm not holding my breath. And with regards to Farage and Starmer, we'll do that in the next half.
Indeed. Does Rex want Boris back, comes the question.
No, thank you. No, thank you. He was a great Lord Mayor. And sadly, I think I've mentioned on this show many times before, his brains were not in the right place. And that is the problem with Boris. But I've met Boris. He was a lovely, charming, funny person. But he took his eye off the ball. He was given the largest mandate, but he blew it away. It's such a shame, because he could have been absolutely brilliant. And we wouldn't be in the mess where we are today. But we were just talking about politicians' judgment. If you think, talking about elections, why did the French president call an election when he did, and Sunak call an election when he did, when they had no need to, therefore arming, you know, all the aggro that we're going through now? It's just fascinating.
I mean, Macron calls one to sort of like to try and catch out the right. That's the whole thing. And he's a gambler. He always has been. Sunak, because he showed all the political use of a boiled owl, basically. I mean, if there's ever a study in how not to be to do run a prime ministerial campaign, I mean, people will study Sunak's tenure in office, because everything he could do wrong, he did do wrong, basically.
Including calling the election in the pouring rain, exactly. Which that was an omen and a half.
Exactly.
If he didn't read through the tabernacles of life, should I call an election while my suit is actually hanging off me?
Yeah.
You know, it's just beggars belief, the whole thing. And that's what we're talking about, I think, is political judgment.
9527884000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Professional. You can WhatsApp them, +34 645 9967 95. Right, though, we're coming to the end of the first half of the first viewpoint of 2025. We're going to be back in a few minutes for the second half after the national and international news, and we'll be looking, having another look at what's happening both in the UK, as Starmer's problems seem to multiply, and also should we be joyful, relieved that Assad has gone from Syria, because that obviously happened whilst we were off air, and we were looking at what's happening in that particular troubled area of the world. But first, the national international news.
Talk Radio Europe.
Your voice in Spain.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment. Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
Always live, always lively. The first viewpoint of 2025, joined in the studio by the woke fighter Gerald himself, Rex Leyland. If you want to get involved with today's shows, then here are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000.
Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Thanks to Ian, who's WhatsApped in saying he sent me in an article. Germany accuses Musk of election meddling over AfD support. From the South African fascist bully boy, otherwise known as Elon Musk. Remember the tweet about the boys in the cave in Thailand? Happy New Year. Yes, thank you. Thank you for that indeed. Looking at some other bits and pieces that came off whilst we were... we had Desirex want Boris back, so perhaps a trip back to the 18th century with that haunted pencil of Jacob Rees-Mogg. Yeah, indeed. A mayor, not a Lord Mayor, but more of a right mayor or a knight mayor or something like that. Anyway, thank you for your comments in. If you want to get involved, we'd love to hear from you, because obviously your comments and quotes are what makes this show run relatively smoothly. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. studio@tre.radio is the email. If you want to send your emails in as well, be good to hear from you. Be good to hear from you this morning on Viewpoint. Just looking for this looking that comes in there. Now, meanwhile, we seem to... here we go. Here, thank you, Stephen. Hi, I'm normally against any foreigners poking their noses into our politics. But in this case, I'm completely for it. The corrupt Westminster... I think you mean to say cabal, but you've written cable, have continually and ignored and betrayed the British public for far too long.
Giles, please don't. You don't have to stand up or salute Giles.
We legally voted for Brexit, but they've tried everything possible to ignore it. We've been asking for actions on the Pakistani rape gangs. Those are the words that this writer has written in. For around 20 years, all they do is invent new derogatory names to keep us quiet. The Westminster Clan believe they know best and we should let them do as they wish. Wrong. That's in capitals. The gloves are off. Any help we can get to shake up this disgraceful system is more than welcome. Thanks, Steve Laws. So, there you go.
Well,
that
is equally well encapsulated.
Yeah.
And probably he's saying what we all are thinking. Of course, that's what Farage does. What Farage says is what most of us are thinking, and we don't always say it.
No,
that's what it was, Giles. Not so much now, but it was when certainly he was kicking off a long time ago.
I remember the more innocent times when he was being chased down the streets out of Gibraltar outside the Angry Friar, but that's a different story.
Well, I chased Farage down the street once.
Did you know?
Yep. And I met him, and I said, well done.
Did you now?
Yes, I did.
Well, that's how you wanted, your steak that day.
So what?
Was he taking your order?
No. We just happened to be in the same street in London. So yeah. That last...
Steve Laws.
Message from Steve. Yeah. So I love the use of the word cabal. Because, although they're an elected government...
Yeah.
Sadly, they are behaving like a regime or a cabal.
But no, you see, if you use the word cabal, that's
if
got
I'm
undertones.
Using it correctly.
That's we're back into the Illuminati here, and this and George Soros, and the world is being run by a cabal of 8 foot
cabal.
Is
it more religious cabal?
Yeah, it's a shadowy underground group.
Right.
So therefore, Soros, there's this whole thing about the Great Reset.
Yeah.
And that's a cabal. And this is what Trump's been getting. This is part of the sort of the MAGA QAnon stuff, which is, the world is run by a shadowy cabal, which is, Soros and any Rothschild you want to throw into the mix, whatever.
The grouping, what are they called? And they meet...
The Illuminati.
Yeah, but what's the meeting they have every year? The G, whatever it is.
Famous
five. No. The one they have in Switzerland.
Yeah, Davos.
Those are a cabal. That's a cabal.
It's not a cabal, because it's hard for secrecy, because the whole world media is there. Yeah. Oh, they say, you don't know about it, I get that all the time in my other life about cabal. So let's not even go there.
Right.
Anyway, but yeah, but you see, but if you use, but if you use the word cabal, you're basically saying that you're basically saying the democratic system isn't working. And I would beg to differ with that one. In the same way that, you know, Trump says the democratic system doesn't work, but in which case, you know, if the democratic system was being rigged, you know, all those times out, then how could Trump win the election last time round?
Yeah. Okay. I mean...
So, anyway, back to... Oh, the Bilderberg Group. Thank you very much. Yeah, that's the Bilderberg Group.
Thank you.
Rather than Davos, which is public.
Yeah.
There you go. You see?
Oh, I see. Right, yeah, yes.
Well, you know.
The listeners are very...
Well, they're part of a very... The Viewpoint cabal.
They are, exactly. And
the VCs, of course, ourselves.
Wonderful general knowledge and natural intelligence.
Yeah. This coming in. Can people please be aware, thank you, that 80% of paedophiles are white males? Stephen. It was Stephen, the Bilderberg Group. Thank you, Richardson. Good to have you back with us, sir. Farage was never and will never think what I'm thinking. What on earth? Not the exact words, Rex. Oh. And then kisses. So right. Thank you, Julie. Natural intelligence. Yeah, something like that. You've woken people up with that comment. It's getting very, very overcrowded on that political bandwagon. The grooming public inquiry. Thank you, Paul. Which took 8 years, cost £200 million. The J report in 2022 identified 20 recommendations. Number of actions implemented by the previous government. Nothing. Jenrick, remember him, was doing the media rounds this morning, calling for an inquiry. Checked notes. Further cabinet, the former cabinet minister of state of immigration, secretary of state for housing, communities and local government, exchequer, secretary of the treasury, and minister of state for health. Those on the bandwagon have no interest in the victims. And sorry, Rex. Sorry, but Rex can shove Farage where the sun don't shine. So at the moment, that is obviously most of London, because it is beset with, oh, well, Liverpool, where you can't move, because it's got 2 inches of snow.
Well,
there you go.
If you say so.
So, I just wondering if your studio guest has any evidence to support his statement that Farage is saying what we're all saying, not the Daily Fail.
He says what we're thinking.
Saying what we're all thinking.
But that is actually now. I will correct myself to appease your listeners.
You've woken them up. You've shaken the WhatsApp box.
To appease them, I will say that is slightly historic. Going back to the days of pre-Brexit.
Ah, those halcyon days, the sunny uplands.
But in fairness, he was. He did create a seismic political move in the creation of Brexit, and it got carried through, but sadly it was badly executed by the gentleman we spoke about in the first half of the show, and that's such a shame, but there we are, and we have to now get on and try and make the best of it. But
were we all thinking Brexit hasn't been done? No, Rex. Most areas are thinking Brexit needs to be unwound, at least rejoin the single market. Rex does want the Tories back. Okay, natural intelligence. He created a seismic move because the British electorate aren't very bright. Let's get off this.
Ooh.
And before Rex has something else to shake the box up for. Let me wonder why we're just talking about. Yeah, we haven't any phone calls in yet this morning. Come on. I mean, unless you've all got free Wi-Fi or something, and you like to use WhatsApp. So I'd like to hear a human voice just to make sure that you're not all Russian bots out there sending anti-Rex. That could be what it is. You see,
yes.
It could be the Woke Brigade.
AI.
Yes. Any intelligence in this case, so that's what it stands for when I'm on the radio. Not artificial, any. There was one somebody today this morning saying on the news saying that they're creating yet another intelligence, more intelligent than any human could possibly be. Now, this is the creation of ChatGPT, whatever I think.
Right.
It's got to. I know we're both looking at each other blankly, but it's got to be slightly worrying, hasn't it, when they start, you know, just because, as I always say, maverick scientist Jeff Goldblum, Jurassic Park, just because you could, he admonishes Dickie Attenborough when he makes the dinosaurs, just because you could, did you ever stop and think that you should have asked yourself why you should? So, do we, just because we can create super intelligent whatever's out there, do you not think the time, Rex, has come to take a reality reality check.
Well, I saw that piece about the how the musicians union are very scared. Well, not the union. I think it was a group of eminent musicians are scared that AI will start.
I hate to break it to you, but
impersonating their songs, writing the songs, and doing everything, and take away their. Their creativity, but AI is if like all things, if it's properly employed and governed, then it's an asset. I have recently downloaded two apps which I think are absolutely wonderful. When you Google something, you tend to get a lot of sort of stuff that you don't really not part of the answer that you want to read. But there's an app called Perplexity and Claude, and if you Google a question,
Perplexity and Claude,
yeah, they're two separate apps.
Oh, okay. No, they are
two separate. And when you Google, you sorry, I shouldn't say Google. When you ask them a question, you get an answer, and if it can't answer, it says we can't answer. Now that is AI. That is what I call sensible AI, because it actually doesn't make it up. It just says, "Sorry, mate, we don't have the answer."
Like I said that way. So, sorry, mate. Sorry, Giza. So, mate. Yeah. AI, yeah.
So, anyway, obviously.
Now, somebody who hasn't got the answer at the moment is Keir Starmer in the UK.
Right. Well.
Yeah, see what I did there? That was seamless. But, in my years of looking at politics in the UK, when somebody comes in on such a crushing landslide victory as Labour swept to power last year, and now to see the ratings that he's getting, you're shaking your head there. And you'd have to say, we're years away from an election, 4 years from election now. Supporters of Keir Starmer would argue that this is the hard medicine that we have to take. And do you think as somebody living in the UK that this is acceptable medicine for you to take? Because it looks like people are saying it's hypocritical. He's gone back on things he said he'd do: inheritance tax, tax on independent schools, winter fuel allowances. Is this again? We're talking about missteps with Rishi Sunak in power. Starmer, he may be thinking this is what we need to get Britain back on track. But it's like saying, yes, well, we've got two options. We can either drip feed this to you, or we can lop off the entire limb. And he looks like he's doing the second one at the moment.
Well, there are two things here. The first major point, which you touched on, is the fact that Starmer said so many things in opposition, and it's all been recorded. And they often show clips of what he said before he became prime minister. So that is obviously something that's really gone very badly, is going badly against him. And the other thing is that the blaming of the previous government, okay, you can blame them for a week, a month, several months, but it is now the Labour narrative just to blame, blame, and blame. Now, where are we? 8 months into power, and they are probably the most hated new government to have been elected in the history of our wonderful country.
And it's to the lines we go. Morning call, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? And congratulations, you're the first live call on Viewpoint of 2025.
Yippee! Morning, Charles. It's Peter.
Morning, Peter.
Ah, Peter, good morning.
Good morning.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I thought I'd bow you out. I heard you didn't have any calls, but I wasn't going to bother. You did mention George Soros. I was wondering when someone was going to complaining about billionaires with their impact on politics, and George Soros has been doing it for years, and suddenly now it's Musk. Everybody's complaining, aren't they? But to go back a minute or so, AI, that's one of the problems we've got at the moment. The world is changing, and you mentioned the Great Reset. We're on the cusp of a massive, massive change, and many, many people are struggling to grasp it. But I think also the so-called elites, or whatever you want to call them, I think they understand better than anyone that the massive changes that are going to come to this world. And because of that, I think we have this chess game going on at the moment where the big players, the bishops and the kings and the queens, are realigning themselves to stay in control or in power or maintain their legacy wealth because of the massive changes that are coming. And I think that's why so many of them are openly getting involved at the moment, because of the way the world is turning. So, Rex, didn't you used to work in the city?
Never. I had a restaurant. I had a restaurant in the city, which was patronised by eminent city gentlemen. But I never worked.
As in trading.
I couldn't. That was not my fault.
That gives you a vision of what's going on at the moment. Because I was reading only this morning that the American S&P, the stock exchange in America, is going to extend its hours because the whole world is trading on speculation at the moment, and there's a and there's a massive bubble, and I've been saying for years that the economy is fixed, and I get called a conspiracy theorist, but when the world's GDP matches the world's debt, and when America are servicing their $37 trillion debt on $1 trillion a year in payments that can't be sustained, when jobs are disappearing to AI, we're on a massive cusp or a big turnaround. Now, you mentioned this morning, I think Sam Altman, his company, have mentioned AGI, which he said is we're about there. What they call it is singularity, the point of singularity, where computers and everything are outthinking the human beings. And the problem we've got is we've been feeding in information. Once they start thinking for themselves, they only know what they're taught, and then they go on from there. The problem is, all we taught them is war and greed and capitalism. So if they take it to the next step, where do we go from there? Now, with AGI, which is artificial general intelligence, this is the next step. And this next step is going to be massive. And that's why they talk about a reset, about the new world order, about how it's going to go. It's nothing to do with conspiracy. And if you're into that sort of world of thinking ahead, trying to second guess the markets, trying to earn a living, trying to protect your wealth, you have to be aware of what's coming. And in my lifetime, I've never known anything like it. It's I don't know if you're aware of... I don't know if you want me to stick on this subject, Giles, but can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Oh, right. If I stick on this subject, we've got, did you come across or anyone see that Google announced their new Willow project?
I haven't seen that one. Peter, please.
Well, it's quantum computing. Now, quantum computing, they've now, on this Willow project, they... that the most supercomputer in the world, given a problem to solve, that the quantum computers can do in 5 minutes what the most advanced computer on this planet would take 25 septillion years, which is just Google numbers, just complete Google numbers. It's 1 to the power of 25, 1 to 25 noughts, and it's every 3 noughts, as you well know, million, billion, trillion, quadrillion, centillion, quintillion, centillion, it goes on and on and on. So these computers are so advanced, and they're working on qubits, that what we know at the moment is nothing, and we can make a massive jump here. And I think people far above our pay grade are aware of the changes it's going to make to this world. Massive, massive changes. And it's making huge changes at the moment. People are making vast amounts of money, but it's all on speculation. If this comes to fruition, if this is going to work. And all these companies, I can remember a few years ago, when I first bought Apple shares, then got rid of them, and about a year or two ago, people were speculating the first $1 trillion company. Now there's so many $1 trillion companies. The 3 biggest companies in America, tech company, are 21% of the stock exchange in America. The 10 biggest are 42%, and they're trading on massive PE ratios, their expected money down the line, which doesn't exist. So the whole world is trading on something that doesn't exist, hoping it might or might not happen. So we're in a terrible, terrible spot at the moment. And this is going to change politics. It's going to change the way we live. And hopefully it might change for the better. There might be things like advanced medicine, advanced individual medicine for individual people, might result in massive savings. But we are on a cusp, a big turn, a massive big turn. And I don't think people really appreciate what is going on. And fair play to them. If they don't know, it doesn't hurt them, does it? They just go about their daily life. And good luck to them.
Peter, as always, thank you very much for your call in on this morning. And thanks for being, congratulations for being the first call for 2025 as well.
Well done.
I do think it's going to be a long old year, I think.
You're certainly right about, you're not the first person this year that's mentioned to me that something's going to blow within the American economy. And of course, we will all suffer as a result of that. Not that our stock market is doing particularly well, although...
None are doing well, Rex.
Well,
they're doing well on paper.
Yeah,
but if you drill down on them, and I think that could be Trump and Musk's and that downfall is crypto. There is talk that this day
the foundations are not so solid as they used to be. Put it like that, the financial foundations.
What they need to do is they need to make this debt disappear. So if you go full in on crypto and you make it worth a fortune, then obviously you can get rid of the American debt. And it's like going from the old gold standard to fiat. We change from fiat to crypto, the trouble is to advance crypto, you have to say the rest of the world economy's broke. So,
But the wonderful thing about debt is that providing nobody calls it in, you can carry on forever. It's when the debt is called in that the aggravation really starts. And every country is massively in debt. And of course, the Labour government managed to redefine our debt by moving the goalpost. Rachel Reeves moved the goalpost.
That's exactly what they're doing now, redefining it. They're going to start talking about trillions of dollars of land wealth. I mean, the American government owned 250 million acres. If they start factoring all that in as some sort of wealth, they can start again.
Yes.
And that's probably why they're battling over. Ukraine is not... People think the war in Ukraine is so misguided. For years and years and years, we've gone on about the petrodollar war. Ukraine is the most fertile place on Earth. The Eurasia has trillions and trillions of dollars of minerals. And the world wants it. Europe wants it. America wants it. They're talking about taking Greenland and annexing Canada, all things I've been saying for years, it has to happen to keep the Ponzi scheme going.
Okay, Peter, thank you very much for your call in and happy year with that one. We're going to go to a quick break and then we're going back for the last 30 minutes of this morning's Viewpoint.
Clear, concise, current reporting throughout the day. TRE, your voice in Spain.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Yes, apologies, ladies and gentlemen, girls and boys, and whatever you're identifying yourself as in front of the work finder, Gerald. There, I know we are aware that no advertisements came out during that particular segment. I have got Wallace and Gromit working hard on fixing that. Indeed, believe it or not, there's not a giant lever behind me, and the work finder will tell you.
It's the new year Gremlins.
It's the new year. No, well, I can't pull the big switch down behind me like Dr. Frankenstein's laboratory.
Even Doctor Who.
Dr. Starmer. Why do politicians, Rex, feel the need to... Yeah, I know it's in the previous segment too. Why do politicians feel the need, and this we saw this during that thing of which we cannot talk, feel the need to go into, whenever they get to hospitals, to roll their sleeves up and put, as if they expect, Boris, can you give me a hand? I need to amputate this patient's leg and hold him down, give him some rum. I mean, it's... Isn't it?
If you go back in fashion to after the, I'm saying it again after the war. I'm not that old, but every gentleman rolled his sleeves up, and it's a very old fashioned thing to do today. When we go out in wearing a proper shirt, we fold our cuffs maybe once, twice, or even three times, and most of the cuffs have an extra button, so that secures it. Yeah. But when you see a politician in hospital, you're absolutely right, Giles, it really is pathetic the way it's like they're going to have an injection.
Yeah.
You know, they're ready for immunization.
All their jackets are so full of virus
and it's also
and bacteria.
And it's also when they go around the factory and they don the high-vis.
Well...
And that's also... And the helmet, they put the helmet on.
The helmet, you can understand, unless they go to Liverpool where they have to wear a special cargo. 2 inches of
snow. But maybe a knock on the head would do them a lot of good. You know, if something collapsed when they're going round. But no, but it's it is pathetic, the rolling of the seat. And every single party, government party, does the same thing.
But
so that's a conundrum.
It's a good one. That annoys me. But as I say, but seriously, folks, the other thing is the situation that this is once again a government trying to come to terms with the NHS and the situation with it. And you have to wonder if the NHS has become such a spiralling leviathan of providing a healthcare service that is unmatched in terms of the philosophy behind it. Our American friends look with wonder at our health service.
France has probably the best balance of sort of between private and public.
Yeah,
but one has to admire the NHS, and I. Its biggest fan, I can assure you. And I say this because of experience. I've said it on your show before, Giles, previously, years ago. And I say it again now. When something's wrong, the NHS, seriously wrong, the NHS is there for you.
Yeah.
I always talk about the boil on the body. It may not be working so well for that sort of condition, but when
sorry about that, ladies. If you're just enjoying your first, your
there's
first
nothing wrong with that.
Whatever of the day.
But seriously, it is.
Cannot be unseen.
What has happened now is probably the NHS is not designed to accommodate the amount of people that are using its services. You have to go back when the number of the British population was a lot less than it is now. And there was capacity, but there isn't anymore. I've just seen on my phone a state of emergency or something's been declared or a critical situation because the hospitals are overflowing. Mm. I've had the misfortune of having to call out several ambulances recently. And I have to say they were there in under 3 minutes. And the service received was impeccable, unbelievable. So it works, majoritively. And when the people got to the hospital, they were looked after in an exemplary fashion. And the NHS really is a most wonderful organisation. And sadly, I think the remedy is, or sorry, the problem is that there are too many people using its services and it just can't cope. Mm. And until there is a massive radical reform, which I don't think is imminent, other than the fact that they could and are using sharing private health. But then, of course, we, the taxpayers, pay for that. We pay for that in our taxes, and it's going to cost even more money to keep the show on the road. So when looking at France, and you see there's I think the French work on a contribution basis as well mm-hmm. as the state. I think probably we need a new model. That's what's required.
I know there are less people. The population of Spain is smaller, but obviously, again, the Spanish system as well is absolutely brilliant in terms of getting people in and seeing to. I mean, I know people who've gone in for had pacemakers fitted and been out in 24 hours, or had major transplants and haven't been on these waiting lists for literally sort of 6 or 7 months. You know, they're in and they're out and they're seen to. You know, in, and it's not perfect, but it seems to be.
It works indeed.
David from Havi is just saying about Keir Starmer's speech yesterday. Did you see the nurse behind him constantly picking her nose all the way through the speech? I didn't, David, so thank you for that. Why do people continually need to praise anything that delivers them what they should be getting? I think because praise is needed at all times. It's like saying thank you when you get off the bus.
I always say that you go through life, you've got to, as well as being critical, you must compliment. They go hand in hand. And being in the hospitality business as I was,
yes.
it was in our day, of course, we didn't have social media, and the people would come in and they may not like...
Yeah, Nigel Dempster, that's we, in, there in, we had everybody, social media.
But, no, but they were not allowed to write. They were banned from writing anything unless we gave sanction. But, no, it sums up the English mentality in that the English would never really complain, unlike their continental neighbours, who would always complain if something went wrong. And then the Englishman would go out and tell his friends not to go to that restaurant, which is a sort of an underhand, rather snidey thing to do. Whereas it would be so much better that when you're in the restaurant, if you like something, tell them. And if you don't like it, tell them.
Yeah, exactly.
But don't go away and be snidey.
Afterwards.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Wasn't the Anglesey... Nigel Dempster lived opposite, didn't he?
What?
The Anglesey. Do you remember the Anglesey pub in London?
It's around yes, it's off the Fulham Road.
Yeah, and well, Dempster used to live in one of the houses opposite.
He did.
And he used to see him
Sumner Place.
Yeah. That's where a friend of mine famously collapsed from heat exhaustion in a summer's day drinking the Pimm's there, and the paramedics arrived, and they asked the Irish landlord how much... because it was an Irish landlord at Anglesey, how much alcohol was in the Pimm's, and the gentleman, the landlord, replied, very little, and everybody looked askance at their pictures of Pimm's on a hot summer's day in the Anglesey. There you go.
In fact, several times, we had all four of the top gossip columnists eating in the restaurant, sitting on different tables. And those days it was Dempster, Hickey, Benson. Ross Benson, and the lovely man John Rendell, etc. And they all sat on different tables, scowling at each other. By the end of lunch, they were all on one table having an absolute riot. Brilliant. So that was one of our claim to faves.
Right then, going back
we're meandering.
We are meandering. But going back to the issue, because I'm going to kind of do a break in a minute as well. But this is the issue of politicians wearing their shirt sleeves up. They do look like a duck out of water, but. Doctors prefer to wear short sleeves as hand washing is frequent and shirt cuffs get in the way, hence rolled up sleeves. Ties can dangle down, so get cut tucked in. David Cameron was castigated by a surgeon for not adhering to the dress code, so they want to avoid repeating that at all costs.
Right.
Meantime,
that's fair enough.
Yeah. If I get exemplary service or service beyond standard, then sure. But standard service, no. Maybe the British have substandard expectations. I blame sport. On that, we're going to go to the last ad break and then back for the last.
If they're working,
they well. Let us.
Somebody may have pulled the plug.
Somebody may have pulled the plug, but you've put the fear of what's into me now.
Before income
I hit the ad
from
break.
Ads on TRE.
Yes, we'll be doing a pay-as-you-go service. Hang on, so take a deep breath, buckle up, and here we go.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
Always live, always lively. There you see a portent of 2025, the adverts were indeed there and ringing, and I'd like to thank all the sponsors and whatever else for the show. Also, it may seem like an awful long time, but since we last had we last met for Viewpoints, there has been the quite incredible regime change in Syria. And first of all, there was lots of rejoicing. You know, Assad was gone. There was going to be a new political system in Syria. We saw some quite horrendous scenes coming out of the prisons and people being executed literally days before, you know, a day before they were due to be liberated. And yet, here we are again with HTS, which is the force that has put together the new government. It's Islamist by nature, but of course it is in that particular region. And some may see red flags appearing, and the thought of another perhaps pro-Islamic hardline state in that particular region is going to add more petrol to an already explosive situation. Rex, your thoughts on this one?
Well, the first thing that we mustn't forget is that in Syria and I think in Lebanon there is also a sizable Christian
the
community.
Absolutely.
And they also have to be acknowledged.
Yeah.
But when I look at the Syrian debacle, whatever you want to call it, rebellion, overthrow, there's just a couple of things that I find difficult to comprehend. One is that the atrocities that were committed by Assad and his henchmen, when Assad was an eminent eye surgeon or eye specialist trained in London, obviously influenced by Britain, then marrying a British woman, mm-hmm. and yet he was responsible in his time of office, along with his father, for killing thousands and thousands of innocent people. But it's the way that they meticulously recorded the deaths and everything. The one thing about the Gestapo was they were record keepers, right? They kept records, foolishly, of everything they did. The Assad regime has done exactly the same thing. And, of course, they tried to destroy the records as they all the henchmen exited at high speed, but they didn't destroy all. And now, as a mark of current history, we can see exactly what happened. And it really was shocking, absolutely shocking, how somebody could be so cruel to their own people just to keep themselves in power, just to keep the money, and so on and so on. What are the chances of him being evicted from Russia absolutely when he's none. No longer
absolutely none
of value?
He'll stay in Moscow for the rest of his life. Oh, he'll stay in Russia for the rest of his life.
Unless Putin is overthrown, which is
So broad church regime change, okay?
Yep.
Because you can say, you know, and we said, you know, foreign agents having foreign nationals having regime change. I'm just thinking of Chile in 73, but yeah, that's just Allende.
Pinochet.
Yeah, well, Allende gets kicked out by the CIA, yep. Pinochet comes in, anti-communist thing. But if you look at, it's wonderful that Assad is gone. There were atrocities committed during the, what should we call it, the civil war, you know, 10 years, Aleppo being, yep. you know, these wonderful historical cities being absolutely laid waste to. But, you know, and again, it's, did we not think the same about Libya when Gaddafi yes. went? Did we not think, you know, when he went due to a people's revolution, and look at the shambles that Libya is in at the moment, yes. warlords, etc. Iraq. So, yeah, again, Mesopotamia, birthplace yeah, of whatever. Yeah. I mean, okay, you know, I'm not saying that we should back up barbaric regimes like the Assad. Of course not.
But you keep them in power, it sort of gets the problem away from us, and we just don't look behind.
This sounds absolutely horrendous, Rex, but you know what you're dealing with, and you knew that with the Assad regime, it certainly wasn't an Islamist regime. The problem is that we talk about the Coptics, we talk about the Kurds in those regions who have fought yes. in the war, yeah? And as I understand at the moment, there's been no invitation by the current government to sit down and have discussion talks on how to do that. What we have seen is the education policy being reformed, and as the saying goes, get the start with the children, and they're so creationism is out, you know, so evolution is out, for example, and it is now Syria is being placed by is the word Syria is apparently being replaced by Islam, you know, for Syria, and there are foreign fighters, or there are foreign militiamen, or foreign people who have fought, yes, who have now taken positions in the new Syrian military. And that has got to be a worrying signal, because obviously we have at the moment, Israel is currently taking what they would call preventative strikes against yep. their enemies
yep.
in Lebanon, in all points, you know, north, south, east, and west. Well, they're definitely taking them against north, because, I mean, if Syria starts, it goes full Islamist, you know, that's another, that's going to make the state of Israel feel even more
insecure,
under pressure,
yep.
which they have been since the atrocious attacks of the 7th of October.
Absolutely. I mean, I suppose, in a way, but we're not discussing Israel and its politics at this particular juncture, but in a way, it looks like Israel is the so-called, and I say in parenthesis, policeman of the area. They will make sure that things certainly don't go against them. But at the moment in Syria, we have a regime, right? We
can use. That's a good word for it. Yeah. I'll take regime.
Is there any hope of free elections? Not really. No. Am I? Is that asking too much?
Free elections. I don't think.
Anything gets into power, we need a period of stability before we can have elections.
Right.
Which is
Has it been discussed?
No, of course not.
No, exactly.
You know, fair and free elections will be in place when we decide to. But we kind of like being in power. That's not the mantra we've heard before in regime change all over the world.
And is the indication that this regime in Syria now is going to be extreme in an Islamic way?
We wait and see, don't we? This is the problem. But there are some worrying, a little worrying things about, especially about the education thing. I think that's worrying, because this is what you saw in Afghanistan.
The education thing, you only have to look at Afghanistan
exactly. And
the Taliban.
And the word,
And there's that lovely gesture by the Scottish universities to take all those Afghani women who were nearly completing their medical degrees, and they managed to get out, and Scotland very kindly gave them allowed them to finish their studies in various universities. I don't know if you read about that.
I haven't read about
that. It was commendable, absolutely commendable. But imagine if you're a woman in Afghanistan in the name of Islam.
Horrendous.
It's just not worth thinking about.
Talking about horrendous, this is just, I'm just looking at this now, but it's 10 years since the Charlie Hebdo attacks. Remember with the magazine?
Oh, yes, in Paris.
In Paris, 12 dead. I mean, that was for those who believe that what happens over, you know, over in other countries isn't going to affect us, and that was a precursor, of course, to the Bataclan attack, wasn't it? Of course, that happened a year later, of course, the slayings in Paris, the massacres in Paris that are taking place. So, quite hard to believe that that's 10 years ago, Rex.
Mm.
10 years indeed. If you want to get involved with today's show, here are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
There are many reasons why people won't be comfortable being as connected as they are.
The Remix, a recap of the best interviews of the week.
We don't need role models, but sometimes it's nice to see a positive reflection of some of the decisions that you've made.
During that time, I asked myself a simple question. What does it mean to be a man? Because I'd done everything I thought a man was supposed to do to be happy, and I was absolutely miserable.
Tune in Saturdays and Sundays from 2 p.m.
Sometimes we have to live with the fact that we may never know the truth, and you have to be okay with that.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And some bits and pieces. Israel and Hamas are wrangling at the moment over a ceasefire deal to end the bombing of the Gaza Strip and return the remaining Israeli hostages. This is according to Reuters. Palestinian officials said intensified Israeli bombardment had killed more than 100 people over the weekend, while Hamas said the group had approved a list of 34 hostages to be returned. Which Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's office swiftly denied. There's a push underway to reach a ceasefire before Joe Biden leaves the White House, you see. So they want to bring this over the finish line in the next 2 weeks, said outgoing Secretary of State Antony Blinken, because today is the day where the official certification for Donald Trump's election victory takes place. And as we know, what happened was it 2 years ago? Four years ago, when the former president's supporters stormed the U.S. Capitol building. So this is the day where it goes through.
I had an adage about that, and I was talking about this several months ago. I was trying to work out whether Biden wanted to step aside politically with the Israeli situation, with the war, etc. And he perhaps might have done a deal with Trump to allow Trump to get into, when he gets into power, to, for him to take the glory in order to get a, an absolute cessation of all action in that part of the world. That was something I was thinking about. But now you're making me think again, but maybe Biden wants to grab this accolade before he goes. But we know, as Trump has said, he will finish the war in the Middle East. He will finish the war in Ukraine. He has got this magic wand. Now, I'll say only one thing about Trump. He was one of the few politicians, when he got into power last time, to have actually done virtually all that he promised within the first, I think it was 6 months of his tenure. Whether it'll be the same again this time round, who knows?
Just to clarify, excuse me, yes, you're correct. It's January the 6th that the so it was yesterday the vote or the Trump election victory was certified. But the calm may be, because it's people saying we're more in danger of a snowstorm today.
Right.
The calm is illusionary. The most dangerous January the 6th event is not January the 6th, 2025. This is David Weinberg of Protect Democracy. It's January the 6th, 2029 and beyond, because obviously that will be Trump's second term coming to an end,
right?
And will he then declare himself Caesar and say, I'm not leaving, I intend to be the American president till the end of time?
Well, he's still got to address his legal
there's nothing gonna happen with that.
Would you think the same about Netanyahu? When he leaves office, do you think Sarkozy's being dragged up, isn't he?
Well, Sarkozy's been dragged up because of Gaddafi and
Libya. Yeah, but he's still being dragged up, you know. But I mean, can you escape the law being a politician?
Well, Netanyahu will stay in power. I mean,
as long as
Israel's in a state of war, and Israel will continue to be in a state of war, by the looks of things, for the next 100 years, at the way they're going at the moment, so therefore... Sorry,
well,
it's just, you know, 952-784-1000 on that one.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you can just look at the way that it's being acting and whether you think that is right.
Somebody once said that Israel will always exist until the Arab nations learn to live peaceably amongst themselves. And that is a valid, solid statement.
And that is something to ponder. Should we have a game of triple shoot on Boxing Day, or should we ask Rex over to ponder the Arab nations living in peace and harmony? Yeah.
We pray for peace, Giles.
We do.
In 2025, if we can end all... I mean, only a few years ago, the world had no wars. And then suddenly we've got so many wars going on. It's ridiculous. We need to pray for peace for 2025. I don't know how it's going to happen, but let's pray that it will happen.
And there was the voice of the Woke Finder General giving his New Year message to you all here on a first live appearance from the studios of A Viewpoint. Right then, almost out of time. So thank you very much all for your messages in of support and otherwise. This, of course, everything is back to normal, whatever that is, on Talk Radio Europe, which means Stephen Ritson is waiting in the wings, refreshed, rebooted, revitalised and roaring to go. Slippy loose the shackles of outrageous fortune and cry havoc and let slip the dogs of Ritson. But in the meantime, Woke Finder General, Rex.
Giles, thank you so much for enduring me on your wonderful show.
Listen, I think straight off the bat, when you managed to obviously, if somebody thought you insulted an entire nation, I think that was, you know, 0-50. If you missed that first part, don't forget, because the...
It's on
at 7 o'clock.
On what?
On TRE.radio.
No, what's the name?
Talk Radio. No, it's on.
Yeah, what's the name? What's it called?
Remit. You're doing so well, Rex.
I can't remember.
It's on, anyway, Rex, thank you so much for your time today.
Pleasure, Charles. And have a wonderful, peaceful, healthy new year.
And the same for all of us here on Talk Radio Europe. I'll see you tomorrow with Let's Talk. Stephen Ritson, the moment you've been waiting for. Christmas is over, the new year's begun, and Stephen Ritson is up next with the first Europe Today of 2025.
views expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.